In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I'm glad to see you all made it out in this wonderful weather we're having. It is a little light today, so you're going to have to laugh a little extra hard at the jokes, you know, to cover all the bases. Gaudete. This is a Latin word, which means rejoice. Gaudete is also the name of this Sunday today. Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice Sunday. We have today the third Sunday of Advent with the pink candle. And it's a reprieve from the darkness, not just the darkness of the encroaching dawn and dusk that happens this time of year, but kind of the dark time that Advent can be. And it gives you a little break, a time to breathe. Rejoice, gaudete. Now we have things to rejoice about this Sunday. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be pouring water on some poor unsuspecting infant and bringing a new Christian into the fold. Now, baptism is something that's familiar to the Christian life. Our gospel starts off by talking about someone who is known for baptism, John the Baptist. But in this passage, John is not baptizing. In fact, he's going through a very dark time of his own. He's in prison, and he's losing patience. In fact, you can hear the patience, how he's starting to doubt in his words. He sends word off to Jesus, his disciples, and he says, "Could you just ask him if he's really the guy?" He says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" It can be very easy to lose heart in difficult times. Now, I've been reading the news and watching the news and seeing on social media and talking to people, and it seems to be that there is a large consensus that 2016 was kind of a lousy year. I don't know if this how lousy it really was, but a lot of people have been troubled. There's been division in our society over an election. There was fake news. There was senseless violence. And it's a year that makes me think maybe we should just bubble wrap the rest of the celebrities we have. Of course, the reality is this isn't the worst year we've ever seen. Well, at least not if you're a Cubs fan. But what happens when there is negativity? What happens when we are frustrated? Or there's one little thing that bothers us? When we get caught up in the negativity, sometimes we can become blind to the good. It's like when you get a paper cut. You know, how big is a paper cut, really? I mean, come on, it's like this big, right? Half the time it doesn't even bleed. But you know, at the same time, your heart's beating just fine, your lungs are breathing, your neurons are snapping. But what is the only thing that you are thinking about when you get that paper cut? Right, you're thinking about the paper cut. It's all we can pay attention to. Now, this is not to say there aren't real problems. It's not to minimize people's anxieties or their fears or all the things that people are going through. Those things are real. But amid the turmoil, amid all the doubt, amid all the fear, there is grace. There is overwhelming grace. Back in April, we saw on the news the horror of the Pulse nightclub shooting. What one person did to devastate so many lives. And yet, even at that time, many people came forward to help out. In fact, all around the country, people gathered together in support of those who died and those who were injured and wounded. Here in our garden, on the east side of this church, we gathered with members of faith communities of several faiths, not even just Christians, and people from the community who have no faith. And we gathered together and we prayed. And this happened in communities all over the country. Just 1 month ago, in our own community, there was a shooting, and people gathered at a local Lutheran church in support to pray. It's not to say that there isn't pain or that these things that happen that are bad aren't real. But when evil strikes, it's easy to see the terrible acts of one or a few people and to completely overlook the goodness of thousands in response. Now, continuing back in the gospel reading, remember, John shows us impatience. He shows anxiety. He shows fear. And how does Jesus respond? Well, Jesus responds to John's impatience with these words: "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Jesus does not respond by scolding John. He doesn't criticize John for his impatience. In fact, Jesus praises him. He affirms the grace going on. And he says about John, he says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist." Now think about that. And all that doubt, Jesus was still able to say those things about John the Baptist. That, friends, that is grace. We did something a little unusual today. Instead of doing a psalm, on the third Sunday of Advent, it's tradition to read the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, this passage from Luke. We read it all together. A little background of what was going on in this passage. This happens right after Mary receives word that she is pregnant. She's carrying Jesus. Now, as us for Christians, we think, oh, that's wonderful. No wonder she sang this wonderful song. There's this beautiful piece of poetry. But let's just think about this for a second. Mary is a teenager. She is a very young woman, living in the first century in a very strict society that gave very little wiggle room to mistakes. She could have dealt with all kinds of problems. A young woman could have had complications with childbirth. If no one believed her that this is really what happened, she could lose her family, or even worse, be executed for adultery. Mary had a lot to be afraid of. But what was Mary's response? "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant." I think one of the reasons that Mary is such a great example to all Christians is that Mary sees God's grace where others might see despair. So how do we manage this in our own lives? How is it when we are bombarded by bad news, or things that trouble us, or things that frighten us, or cause anxiety, how do we see grace? The letter of James says that we heard today, "You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. Strengthen your hearts, James says. This reminds me of when I was newly ordained. I was serving at a parish, and we had a retired priest who once said during Advent, "Jesus is coming. Quick, look busy." Well, I don't think what James is getting here is that. I don't think the point is that we need to be nice and not naughty because Jesus is coming to town. You're thinking of Santa Claus. The point is that Christ is always near us. Scripture tells us the Word is always near us in our minds and in our hearts. Christ is always near us. Grace is always present. And even when things are tough, even when things don't look good, there is far more good going on that God is doing. And that, friends, that is why we can strengthen our hearts. Because we know that God is always at work, that God is always doing something. And so let us keep our eyes open to see God's grace, even in the midst of frustration. Let us see God's grace in the bringing of a new Christian into the kingdom of God. Let us see God's grace in others' kind acts in difficult times. Let us see God's grace in our own thoughts, in our own words, and in our own deeds. Even when there is trouble, even when there is difficulty, let us find room to rejoice. Amen.